welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. We try to find some of the more talkable issues, not always the most serious, sometimes more fun or quirky, and give them a bit more time than we can usually fit into our hourly news bulletins. And today we look at getting doctor's appointments. It's a month on from Jaguar Land Rover's shutdown. We look at the impact.
Jaguar Land Rover have been very proactive in talking to their direct suppliers, but they will also struggle as well.
And we look ahead to celebs doing battle on the golf course. But we start with being able to more easily book a doctor's appointment. The Health Secretary says it's time for GP surgeries in England to modernise and offer online booking systems for appointments all day. Wes Streeting wants an end to what he described as the 8am scramble. Some surgeries already do offer all-day online booking, but from today, all of them have to. Our reporter, Liam Arrowsmith, has more.
We all know the struggle of waking up with a cold and having to sit through this.
Thank you for calling Sandy Lane Doctor's Surgery. Your call is very important to us. Please hold the line.
But now, getting a GP appointment should be as simple as this. Rather than joining a queue on your phone when the desk opens, you should now be able to log on any time between 8 in the morning and 6:30 at night and book a slot. Dr. Rasita Pereira is a GP in Sheffield and tells us how it works.
What a lot of these online systems are doing is it's pushing it more towards that triage system. So what that allows practices to do and the benefit for patients really is that any request they have is looked at by a clinician who can look at the urgency of that request and signpost people into the right service.
But there are some concerns. The Doctors Union, the British Medical Association, are worried older patients who don't have smartphones might not see the benefits, and trials show the system's less effective in working class areas. Alex Stewart is from patient group Health Watch and says it'll also increase the workload for GPs.
It's also employing more people to help do it. And when I say more people, we're talking about GPs, and we know there's a shortage of GPs nationally, despite the government's rhetoric that, you know, X million has been put into recruitment and training of GPs. That takes a fair old time to, you know, pass through the system.
This is all part of a broader government plan to transform the health service. Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer's also announced NHS Online, allowing patients to manage prescriptions, book procedures and access care from home. That should be available from 2027.
Still to come, we're at a number of Jaguar Land Rover sites as the shutdown continues. But first, a couple of significant crime sentencings to bring you. Seven members of a grooming gang in Rochdale who abused two teenage girls have been jailed for a total of more than 170 years. The ringleader, 65-year-old Mohammed Zahid, must serve at least 35 years behind bars. Our reporter Stan Tompkinson's been following the case at Manchester's Minchell Street Crown Court.
The court heard how the two young victims were subjected to a campaign of rape in what the judge described as a truly terrifying ordeal. We heard how both victims were treated as sex slaves from the age of just 13 and were given drugs, alcohol and cigarettes in return for sex whenever the men wanted, including in filthy flats, disused warehouses and alleyways. Liz Fell is from the CPS. She's been speaking outside court.
None of the defendants have shown the slightest remorse for what they have put the survivors through. By maintaining their denials and refusing to accept responsibility, they force these brave women to relive the abuse they suffered at their hands over a five-month trial.
The judge described how he saw one of the girls go visibly pale when she was shown a picture of one of the locations that she was abused in. She fell pregnant as a result of what the men did to her. The two victims, who are now adults, have given written statements which were read out on their behalf outside court.
I have felt shame and guilt all my life for what these men did. I still suffer with social anxiety. I am unable to trust anyone and I cannot take people at face value. I have no expectations of anyone. My life has been on hold for the last 20 years. I have never been able to move on from the abuse.
The judge paid testament to the two victims, who he said showed such tremendous courage after both girls had been seriously let down by those whose job it was to protect them.
Well, next, a man who faked his own death and fled Scotland after raping two women has been jailed for 8 years. James Clacker was convicted last month. Our reporter Liv Thompson was at Edinburgh High Court for the sentencing.
57-year-old Clacker from North Lanarkshire used dating apps to target two separate women in 2019 and 2020. He raped them in their own homes. Judge Lord Cubey handed down James Clacker's sentence earlier today.
Your actions have caused long-term and wide-ranging consequences in the loss of self-esteem, in the destruction of family and other relationships, in trust issues and in employment status.
Clacker attempted to escape justice by faking his own death in 2022 and fleeing to the Costa del Sol under a fake name. He was discovered by Spanish police last May before being extradited back to Scotland to finally face trial. Lord Cubey said he showed no remorse and poses a considerable risk to others.
Now to a story we've returned to several times on Behind the Headlines, Clare's Law. That covers England and Wales, but Scotland have a similar scheme, and we've learned that nearly 20,000 people there have been told their partner has an abusive past. Clare's Law was named after Clare Wood, who was murdered by her ex-boyfriend in 2009. Police say the system has helped thousands make safer choices about their relationships since it began a decade ago. Our senior reporter Alice Faulkner has more.
It's been 10 years since Police Scotland introduced the disclosure scheme for domestic abuse, and that allows anyone who's worried about their partner's behaviour or even a friend's partner to ask if they have a history of abuse. Officers can also step in themselves if they think someone could be at risk. Since it launched, almost 36,000 applications have been made with nearly 20,000 disclosures given out. Detective Chief Inspector Gary Sargent says he believes the scheme has saved lives.
I am aware of individuals who have said that when they received that information, they had the means to remove themselves from that situation and end that relationship. And we know that that individual was at risk of domestic abuse within that relationship.
But domestic abuse isn't only physical. It can also be emotional, financial or controlling. Linda Rogers from Women's Aid in Edinburgh says it's helped survivors understand that they are not to blame.
That's a huge part of the manipulation of domestic abuse, is that you're made to feel it's something that you've done that's caused this behaviour to happen to you, but actually finding out that that it's been done, the same thing's been done to other people, can take that self-blame away.
For many, the scheme has been a turning point, one that may have spared them months or even years of harm.
Still to come on Behind the Headlines, a warning about e-bikes.
It's really important that individuals use the correct charger and never leave a bike unattended.
And the year's big Pro-Am golf tournament's due to tee off. But first, it's been a month since Jaguar Land Rover suspended all operations due to a cyber attack. Three of our reporters have been at different sites across the West Midlands today to see what impact that's had and what's been done. We start with Frances Wall in Coventry.
It's noticeably quieter at Coventry's JLR headquarters, with few staff members seen coming in and out of the car park, reflecting the ongoing disruption caused by the cyber attack. The hack disabled key IT systems across JLR's global network, forcing a nationwide shutdown and sending many workers home. Cybersecurity researcher Dr. Junaid Ali says such attacks are becoming more frequent.
These types of attacks are on the rise. The National Cybersecurity Centre reported handling 50% more nationally significant incidents and three times more severe incidents.
While it's still unclear how the attack happened, experts warn its impact on JLR's supply chain could last for months. Our senior reporter, Hannah Richardson, has more.
What would be a bustling Solihull factory with a steady stream of workers coming in and out, it's now eerily quiet, with barely a soul in sight. The disruption stopped suppliers fulfilling orders and left some on the brink of collapse. Raj Kandola from the Birmingham Chamber of Commerce has been explaining the damage it's potentially caused to businesses up and down the country.
When we spoke to the businesses about the measures they had to mitigate the impact of the cyber attack, 35% said they'd reduce staff hours, 17% said they'd look for additional financial advice, and 35% strengthened their own cybersecurity procedures.
Currently, it's costing JLR tens of millions each week, prompting the government to back a £1.5 billion loan to help avoid triggering a bigger economic hit. But when or how operations resume is unknown. Our reporter Amelia Sammons can give us more of an insight.
Thanks, Hannah. Here in Wolverhampton, the factory looks like you'd imagine. Huge peaks looming over me, with buildings and offices as far as the eye can see. The only difference, parts of it are in pitch black, as production is still yet to get back underway. A handful of admin workers have walked past me. One told me they're busier than ever getting everything in order for when production restarts.
We have all the plans ready. We have meetings and calls with all our leaderships to get everything on track. So as soon as we get the go-ahead, we'll straight away start.
And the workers that can't do their job are waiting for a date for a phased restart. JLR says this could be confirmed in the coming days.
Amelia Sammons ending that report. Next, the London Fire Brigade says 2025 could be the worst year on record for e-bike and e-scooter fires. More than 160 involving the vehicles have been reported this year already. Our reporter Claire Bode has more.
E-bikes are an increasingly popular way for people to get around, but that comes with greater risks. These vehicles have caused 18 fires each month in the capital this year, and these fires already are having deadly consequences. Four people have died in London just this year. But this issue isn't just affecting the capital. Scott Pedden lost his partner and children in a house fire in Cambridge, thought to have been caused by a faulty e-bike battery in June 2023. Speaking to us previously, Scott said owners need to be aware of the risks.
We can do all these campaigns and the government can change all their laws, but it is completely down to the individual person. Are they going to listen to this? And I just pray they will, and these deaths decline in the rate that they are growing.
Deputy Assistant Commissioner of the London Fire Brigade, Richard Field, told us what e-bike owners can do to make sure they stay safe.
It's really important that individuals use the correct charger, they follow the manufacturer's instructions, and never leave a bike unattended or when they're sleeping. It's important also not to modify your bike, and if you're going to convert your bike, make sure it's done by a competent person.
The number of fires in London caused by e-bikes and e-scooters is expected to hit 200 for the first time this year.
And finally, it's that time of year where celebrities and sports stars combine on the golf course. The Dunhill Links Championships gets underway tomorrow. Our reporter Dale Easton looks ahead.
Stars of stage, screen and sport are gathering in Tayside and Fife as the Pro-Am tournament gets underway tomorrow. The first 3 days will be played across courses in Carnoustie, St Andrews and King's Barnes, with the winners crowned on Sunday at the iconic Old Course. Bill Murray, Ronan Keating, Andy Murray and Hollywood couple Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones are just some of the megastars heading to the course. Among the big names are four of Team Europe's Ryder Cup winning team, just days after their victory at Bethpage Black in New York. One of them is Tommy Fleetwood, who's looking forward to the tournament, even if he's feeling a little exhausted.
I'm not going to be in a great way physically for the next few days. Like, I'm tired, you know, my body isn't really feeling it that much, but you know, I love going on the beach here, the sea. I think the town of St Andrews is rejuvenating.
Defending champion Tyrrell Hatton is looking to secure a record fourth title in the tournament. He's telling us why he's been so successful here.
Maybe the slightly relaxed nature of this week. As we all know, I don't fear losing my head, so maybe that's played a part in why I've managed to play well here.
I'll be following tomorrow's action from Carnoustie, where two-time major winner Dustin Johnson and ice hockey legend Wayne Gretzky will begin the action, teeing off at around 9 a.m.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites, and we're across social media. Don't forget to come back here tomorrow, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.